Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start, we have a request. We have a survey because we want to improve the podcast. And the survey will take about 5 minutes of your time to fill in. And it's on the Site Visibility website. If you go to sitevisibility.com/survey, we'd really appreciate your feedback. That'd be fantastic. Just once again, sitevisibility.com/survey. Right, so now today I'm talking to Martin Lindstrom, Danish author, branding expert, and Time Magazine Influential 100 honoree. Martin, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm very, very well. Now, you're talking from Stockholm today. Lovely Stockholm, aren't you?
Yeah, listen, it's a fantastic place, I have to say. You know, you sometimes forget about wonderful places in the world because you haven't been there for a while, and Stockholm is definitely one of them.
Yes, yes. There's a song about it, isn't there? Wonderful, wonderful Stockholm. Oh, no, that's somewhere else, isn't it? I'm getting mixed up. That's Copenhagen, isn't it? It's close. It's not that far away.
No, it's the same.
Now, a long list of accolades to your name. Let's start off by you telling us a little bit about you and your book and what you've been doing, and then we'll move on to the meat and potatoes today, which is going to be small data.
Well, sure. There's a lot to say, I guess, because I'm starting to be pretty old. So, it's a strange story. I began when I was 12 years of age in this industry where I started up my own advertising agency. Can you believe it? And then
at the age of 12?
Age of 12, yeah.
That's fascinating.
It's a crazy story. You know, I loved Lego, and so I built my own Legoland in the backyard of my mom and dad's garden. And then what happened was that I opened the doors. No one showed up except my mom and dad, which really was the low point of my career, I guess. Mm. So I managed to persuade a local print agency to sponsor me and put an ad in the paper. And 2 days later, I had 131 visitors visiting my mini Legoland. Only problem was that visitor number 130 and visitor number 131 were the lawyers from Lego suing me.
Oh, no. At the age of 12?
At the age of 12. And I said to them, why can you do that? Well, they said, it's our brand. I said, well, it's my brand. I bought the boxes. And that was really my encounter with Lego. And then out of that, they kind of became a client. And I started up my own advertising agency and have worked with communication branding and transformation ever since, really.
So when they walked into your garden, did these lawyers know that you were 12 before they walked in and sort of confronted you?
No, they didn't. You see, I was in breach of something called copyright, which I didn't know what was back then. So I called it the mini Legoland. And they were very fair, I have to say. They gave me a new rubber stamp, which was, and the name was now Miniland and not Mini Legoland.
Okay.
And I thought it was a pretty good deal, I guess. A free rubber stamp and some letterheads. No, I think they said it. They saw it a little bit as a joke. But Lego actually back then were incredibly focused on not losing the trademark and actually was holding Lego back from from transformation into become what they were today, because whenever someone used their trademark, they would basically send out lawyers. And I don't need to tell you, they had to be really, really busy in the end. Mm. Because as the internet came around in 1994, they were really not geared to it. And it was first later, about 5 years later, Lego said, so be it. Now we're going to give consumers the access to our brand and build the brand for us. And in many ways, this is one of the key reasons why Lego is as big as it is today.
Good old Lego. Right, let's talk about small data, because most of us have heard about big data and people sort of, you know, sort of talk at length about big data, but not many people talk about small data. I mean, I would call it little data, but small data probably sounds better. Tell us a bit about small data and sort of why it matters.
Well, small data is really all about finding or identifying seemingly insignificant observations in our lives. So you could say, well, big data is all about seeking correlations between billions of numbers. Small data is all about finding the causation, the reason why we do things. And it sounds like, isn't that the same? No, there's a huge difference. No, I'll give you an example. With a bank in the United States, which just recently had concluded based on big data that the customers didn't like them anymore. And in fact, they had to send out a letter to them in order to get them back. And in that letter, they will offer interest rate cuts and stuff like that. But a smart guy in there woke up and realized perhaps small data is the answer. So they started to meet up with these customers and they had sort of one-on-one encounters with them to understand what was the reason why they left. Mm. And the real reason why they left was really because they the people were going through a divorce. And as people were going through divorce, of course, they had to split their accounts and then people had to leave.
Yeah.
So the small data was really showing them the reason why. And based on that, they basically just created a new product which allowed people to split their accounts and stay with the bank even though they were not together anymore. So had you used the big data, they really had lost a lot of money. But by using small data, they actually earned money. And that is the biggest difference between big and small data. The world today, however, is obsessed with big data because it's so convenient to look up on a report on a screen. You don't need to be dirty on your hands, meaning you don't have to go out and talk to those ugly, terrible people who happen to pay your salary, which is called the consumer, right?
Yeah.
Because today people have in companies have this feeling that they can run their consumers through a remote control. Mm. But that's wrong. What's right is that you actually start to understand where the heartbeat is. And once you do that, you actually can create amazing transformations of your brand.
It reminds me a little bit of, because I'm in software development, and it reminds me a little bit of what we call user research. So you're sort of like, you're developing a project and you want to make sure that the screens that you thought were good, that you've put together, actually work on the real users and things like that, which is similar in that you're only, it's quite a small sample rate, but you're getting out there and talking to people.
It is a very small sample rate, and it's so small because you only have to interview 20 or 30 people.
Yeah.
And people say to me, how can you change an entire direction of an organization based on so few interviews? And the answer is very simple. I went to the doctor the other day and had a health check, and he didn't take 6 liters of blood from me to be sure I was healthy. He took a couple of drops, and that was enough based on science to determine my state of health. And in many ways, this is the same. If you have enough experience of picking up those small data, interpreting them, and basically convert them into concepts, well, then that's enough. And I think people have to be aware of that. If we don't do that, you get access to the same numbers as everyone else, and you interpret them the same way as everyone else. And guess what? Where you end? Like where everyone else is. But small data quite often gives you a completely different view of the reality.
Okay, so, I mean, what would the ways be then that we can look at small data sort of in our day-to-day lives, and how can businesses better equip themselves to spot small data trends?
Well, I think it's incredibly important to understand that you first of all need to look for different things than what you're normally doing. Here's a good example. Coming back to our discussion about Lego, you know, back in 2003, Lego really was struggling and close to bankruptcy, which is really surprising when you think about it today. But one of the reasons were that they had looked into those big data and concluded that the instant gratification generation had arrived. And because of that, they actually were changing the size after the Lego bricks back to big clunky bricks where you could build a castle in a matter of half an hour rather than 6 hours.
Yeah.
Now, a small breakout team from Lego moved in with consumers in their homes and ends up in a home of an 11-year-old German kid. And they ask him one single question. The question is, what are you most proud of? And this kid, he pauses for a second. He points at a shelf, and there you have an old worn-down pair of sneakers, smelly. Yeah. And Lego, of course, was perplexed about this feedback because they expected him to say Nintendo, PlayStation, or Sony or something. He didn't. So they ask him why, and he says, well, the reason why is because he is the best skater in town. And he said, this is my evidence. You see, when you slide down a skateboard, it creates a certain wear and tear on those sneakers.
Yeah.
And exactly that wear and tear means that he's number one. And he said, that's my trophy. And the reason why this insight was so important was because that told Lego that if you really have the time to spend hundreds, if not thousands of hours fine-tuning the size of a sneaker, why couldn't you spend the time on Lego bricks? So they realized that this is all about storytelling. And out of that, they created the Lego movie, they created the whole storytelling alliances they have with Harry Potter and Star Wars and whatever it is. And at the end of this story is not only that sales went up 31% last year, but Lego is today not only the number one toy brand in the world, they also just 2 weeks ago were announced to be the number one brand in the world. And that whole story began with small data.
That's a fascinating story.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So you talked about sort of looking at sort of smaller samples of users, consumers, potential clients. What's your personal favorite eureka moment?
I think for me and from my point of view, it probably was when I realized I could look through walls in a home. And that sounds crazy, but when you, as me, have spent perhaps time in 2,000 consumers' homes across 77 different countries over the last decade, you start to build up an instinct. And an instinct is an accumulation of experiences through many years. And at that stage, you start to correlate, actually, the insights you have in a funny way at a non-spoken level, where you suddenly are able to somehow predict how that person is going to behave, even though you don't know the person. And that is because I think in many ways we're not that different as people. I tend to say there's not more than 500 to 1,000 different people. The rest of us are clones of each other. And what it really means is that you will start to be able to look at one person, talk to that person, and immediately draw parallels to what that person will say even before they say things. And you've tried it yourself. I'm sure you met a person and you say, oh, yeah, he reminds me about, what was his name? And then you had another person, right? And this is exactly what I experienced. And as we started to get close to that eureka moment, I then realized that I didn't have to spend a lot of time in homes. Just by drawing these subconscious parallels between people, I could actually tell you what the colors of the bedroom wall will be in a bedroom I have never been to. And that would then help me to understand the success of brands, because then I could throw in a brand in that thinking and actually predict the success, because I would know exactly what the behavior of that audience would be, because I could draw these parallels. So, of course, this is incredibly advanced, and not a lot of people will spend so much time with other people as I do. But for certainly for me personally and my development and the process I'm outlining in my book, Small Data, I would never have been able to do that unless I've been through this this fascinating journey, right?
So it sounds like it's helped you to develop personas then.
It definitely has.
What we call personas in marketing.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I think in many ways that what I'm trying to do is, of course, to convey this message to my readers. It's a tricky balance, because in many ways you are trying to squeeze 20 years in this case of experiences working with this into a couple of pages. But I think I'm getting there. I think the most important message I have to my readers, and in this case the listeners, is that we can all do it. And by that I mean, first of all, when did you last time spend time with a consumer, which you don't know, in their homes, living with them, point one? Yeah. And probably your answer is never. And that's my first question to you. And the second question is, when you go into the home of a consumer, you should look for what you can't see. Now, that sounds crazy, but I'm always looking for the outer balances. We're all out of balance. Maybe I feel I'm overweight. Maybe I feel I'm lonely. Maybe I feel I have a midlife crisis. And in all these cases, there's an answer for it. With a midlife crisis, there's a Harley Davidson. but in many ways, these outer balances also are reflected by what you can't find in the home or what you find in the home. And it's the outer balances you have to look for, because that is the gap representing the opportunity for a new brand, a product or a service.
I'm just wondering, actually, because have you got any tips for our listeners? Because I'm just thinking about the logistics of, like, sort of going into people's homes and doing this sort of small sort of individual user sampling. How do you do that? How do you go about doing that? Are there any sort of top tips you can give our listeners?
Well, definitely. And I'll just give you some quick ones. But no, when you go into a home, the first thing you should do is really to look for the coffee table book, if such exists. The room you'll find that coffee table book displayed in is what we call the perception room. Just as you have your own Facebook page, which you're lying at, most likely. Most of us are either better looking or our CV is polished a little bit too much. Well, just the same way as we have that color brochure, we actually have a color brochure in our own homes. And that happens in the perception room. If you find a huge painting, colorful painting in the perception room, you can be pretty sure that that person is fairly self-confident. If you find a huge bookshelf in the perception room, and that's important, packed with books, you can be pretty sure that the person and the level of education of that person is very slim. Sounds interesting. It's like you're compensating for the lack of education you had as a kid. And because of that, you sort of want to get up to speed and also show to the world you will get up to speed. If you have a huge bunch of keys hanging next to your belt, let's say, I'm just giving you some random examples here, you can be pretty sure that the person is not very self-confident. It's a way to compensate for that. So really, we have all these funny, awkward things. And then you can say to me, well, gee, first of all, how do you find out? Or it may not work for you because you coincidentally do not fall onto these rough paint brushes I'm giving you right now, strokes of paint. But two things to say. Small data is like puzzle bricks. And if I want to create a puzzle, I need to put 100 small pieces of puzzles up on the table. And it may be not all of them fits into that game, but in the end of the day, you will have a pretty accurate picture appearing.
Yeah.
The second thing with this thing is it's all about you conveying a non-conscious, non-spoken word into a concrete message. And the reason why I'm saying that, and the reason why this is so important, is because most of us are completely irrational in everything we do. 85% of what you are doing and what I'm doing is irrational. And we know that from neuroscience and all my work with neuroscience and something I wrote about in a book called Biology many years ago. Mm-hmm. But let me just give you a quick example. I'm not sure if you like me, but if your remote control do not really work, the batteries is just not full anymore.
Yeah.
Are you the type of person squeezing extra hard on that button to squeeze the last piece of battery out of it? That's you. And why do you do that?
Frustration.
Yeah, frustrations. But is that rational or irrational?
I'm teaching it a lesson.
Yeah, exactly. And this is that behavior I need to understand. And you can't understand that by me asking you the question, because you can't give me an answer, right? And you won't even change your behavior if I tell you it's not working. You won't change your behavior if I tell you that knocking on wood does not work. And I can't even ask you why it doesn't work or if it works, because you can't even answer it. But this is the 85%, and that you can only pick up by looking at small data, and that's what I'm doing.
Are you seeing any, I suppose zooming out a bit, are you seeing any sort of behavioral consumer changes that you think are happening right now?
The reality is that, yes, there is a lot of trends happening, and they're happening faster than ever. You have to remember that the evolution we've gone through, or rather revolution, that what we've gone up to today, which have taken 90 years in our world, has actually took the last 90 years took 10,000 years. So that's how fast we are evolving as human species. Mm. So yes, we're undergoing an enormous amount of transformation. But what's so ironic is that we as human beings are not transforming anymore. Now that sounds like a counterintuitive here, but think about it. The first thing you do in the morning is to wake up and grab your phone. And then you are doing your work in the bed, which I don't need to tell you, your bed is designed for two purposes, but it's not that purpose. And then you go to the bathroom, and there you're on your phone doing work. And by the way, I did a study the other day showing that one third, listen to this, Andy, this is crazy, yeah. One third of every young kid, boy, between the age of 15 to 20 years of age in New York City are on the phone in the shower. We're on the phone, really. So we're on the phone. In the bathroom doing work. On the way to our breakfast, we're on the phone. At breakfast, we're doing work. And then on the way to work, we're doing work. And then at work, we're doing private stuff. And what is ironic about this is that we never undergo transformation anymore. And transformation is the foundation for us to stay alive. Transformation basically means that I'm shifting for another environment and I allow myself to transform with it. That is the reason why the numbers of people going to cruise ships has never been higher. It's the reason why the number of people going to a concert, let's say, has never been higher before, because we want to go through transformation. Cinema tickets are going up. Everything is going up like that. Even people going to musicals and just concerts. Yeah. In the UK, it's going through the roof right now because people desperately want a transformation. So the biggest trend we're seeing right now is, in fact, that we are suppressing transformation. That's the reason why you don't reset your computer anymore, because we're mirroring our brains onto the computer. What happens with the computer when we're not doing it? It gets slow. If we don't reset it, what happens with our brain when we don't transform? We get slow. And that's the reason why one of the biggest trends is to fulfill that outer balance, which is exactly what we talked about before, and actually fill that with an opportunity, whatever that is, a product, service, or a brand.
Well, Martin, thanks so much for coming on the show. Now, if you want to find out more about Martin, if you go along to www.martinlindstrom.com, that's MartinLindstrom. Thanks again, Martin. And thanks to you for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review so that we know how we're doing. And don't forget that survey, it's at sitevisibility.com/survey. If you want to continue the conversation, you can do so by joining the Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. And if you want to send a question or a comment, two ways of doing that. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.com, or you can tweet us at Site Visibility. Well, that's all from me, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hold up. when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.